Good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord. If you would just turn around to somebody and wave at them if you haven't already, welcome them to church. It is so good to see everybody. Amen. Why don't we all go ahead and stand today and let's open in prayer. Thankful for you being here this morning and all those that are next door and everything that God is going to do today. And let's just pray that God's will is done here, that He would pour out His Spirit in a mighty way, and that we would recognize the presence of the Lord, and that we would hear His voice today. Can we do that together? Jesus, we love You so much, and we thank You for what You've already done here today and in our men's meeting and men's prayer, Lord, and we thank You for what You're about to do here in this class as well as next door in all of our Sunday school classes throughout the building. And we ask, Lord, that Your will would be done here this morning, that we would hear clearly from the voice of God, that every distracting voice would be silenced, and that there would be a prevailing voice, the voice of Almighty God that speaks clearly to the church today, speaks clearly to whosoever will. We pray that there is a recognition of the glory of the Lord in the house. Lord, we know Your presence is here. We know that You are amongst us, Lord, and I pray we turn our hearts, our attentions unto You, Jesus, and that You have Your way within us and amongst us, Lord. In Jesus' name, let there be an outpouring of Your Spirit today in a mighty way. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Can we also just begin by worship and praise? Maybe lift up a hand and lift up our voices unto God in honor and glory to Him. There's no better way to start out a Sunday. Lord Jesus, we do honor You and we praise You. And we give You glory, for You are so good. You are so wonderful, Jesus. We give You glory. There is no one like You, Lord. God, I'm so thankful. Thankful for Your presence, for Your love and Your mercy, Lord, for Your goodness. For great are You, Lord. Great are You, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated today. I'm going to be teaching today here in Sunday school, and then I'm going to be preaching in our worship service. So, I hope you don't get tired of my voice today, but I'm going to be coming before you a couple times. But this is an exciting day. A lot of us, myself included, my wife, we were privileged to go to the youth conference that was just in Indianapolis. And you're going to hear about that later on today in our worship service. But I just want to preview that by saying what a great time we had in the Holy Ghost and a great time of fellowship. But really just such a mighty move of the Spirit. And really, I was telling Brother Zelke this morning, I've been attending these since I was 5 years old, and I've never quite been to one of these events like this past one we just got back from. And so just a mighty move of the Holy Ghost. I won't share too much, but later on you'll hear some testimonies, and just looking forward to that and the fruit that comes from that. And also, this is what we left that meeting with an understanding of this, that God's not finished with what He started there, and that He's going to do great things here in our church and in the churches across this area and across the nation, across the world. I know that Jerome and Bobette, they ran into some folks traveling back through Marion, or traveling to, south. They came through Marion. They had been at the conference. And so there's people going home and going all across the nation and across the world. And we're just praying and believing that as they go home, that the Lord continues to do a great work within those youth groups, within those churches, within people. And that's what I choose to believe and going to be praying for. And amen. Amen. I'm going to get to message today, a Sunday school message. And if you want to turn to 2 Timothy 1, I'm going to get there in just a moment. We'll read one scripture there, but it'll take a moment before we get there. I want to start off talking today about the year 1933. Some of you maybe remember that. Maybe that was your parents' generation, your grandparents' generation. In San Francisco, they had begun construction on the Golden Gate Bridge. In Chicago, they were preparing that year to host the World's Fair, if anyone remembers that World's Fair that used to go around. That was going to be starting in May that year. Also, the Lone Ranger was beginning to debut all across living rooms on radio stations throughout the United States. But really, the prevailing thing that was taking place was that families were navigating what was their new normal. It was the worst economic crisis to date, that Great Depression. It was a trying time. Maybe some remember those times. Maybe you grew up, maybe some of our elders amongst us grew up in those times, and you remember the effects of what that was. Or you've heard the stories from your parents, your grandparents. Nearly 11,000 of the nation's banks were in trouble. 24,000 banks had failed. Millions of families, their savings wiped out. The unemployment rate soared to 25%, and maybe higher. Americans, they were paralyzed with this thing called fear and doubt. And many lost faith in our nation and government. And they lost faith in institution, and they lost faith in a lot of things. And it was against that backdrop, it was March 4th, 1933, a newly elected president, Franklin Roosevelt, asserted some of the most profound and often quoted words spoken from a U.S. president. Maybe you know where I'm going with this. He said these words, that the only thing that we have to fear is what? It's fear itself. Someone say fear today. I'm going to be talking on that word, fear, but really fear not. 2 Timothy 1, I told we'd get there, 1 and 7, one scripture. For God hath not given us what? A spirit of fear. Let's say it together. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm thankful that he's given that to us today. That he has not given us that spirit of fear, but he has given us something greater than that fear. Of power, love, and a sound mind. This is what I choose to believe. That serving God is the greatest opportunity that you and I could ever have. And I view it as an opportunity. I view it as something to be thankful for and grateful for. And when I look back over my life, I see that I'm not qualified to serve the Lord in any capacity. I'm not qualified to be here today speaking to you. I'm not qualified to be a part of the body of Christ. But God chose through his grace and through his mercy to allow me to be who I am and you to be who you are, coming with context to our lives and context to our stories. And we are built with this, built upon grace and built upon mercy, built upon the love of God. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to be a part of the body of Christ. I don't know about you today, but I'm thankful to be a part of his body. It is an opportunity, and with every opportunity comes challenge, and with challenge comes great risk. And with risk, naturally, there is that thing that comes with it, that thing we call fear. And fear, when we talk about that, we naturally kind of move over sometimes into that greater of spiritual qualities called faith. And so we're going to talk about faith as well today. Fear and faith, though, they are not equal opposites. And I want you to catch that. That's a main thing to glean from this today, that fear and faith are not equal. They're not like hot and cold, not like north and south. It's not east and west, day and night, fear and faith. Fear and faith are completely two different things. Webster defines fear as an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. And Holman Bible Dictionary says it like this, that it's a natural emotional response to a perceived threat to one's security or general welfare. In other words, that fear is a part of our emotional complexity, that it's not something that we learn. It's just there. It's just a part of us, that it's a part of being a human being. And you know that. It warns us to be cautious, to stop, to retreat, to find safety. And so that's why fear in and of itself is not always a bad thing. And I'm thankful that fear sometimes lets me know that I'm driving a little too fast, whether that's fear of being in an accident or fear of getting that ticket, Brother Ashley. One way or the other, sometimes when I'm going too fast, fear comes up, and that's a good thing, I think. Fear arises when, has anyone ever been hiking or been out somewhere in the rock formation and you're getting close to that edge, and all of a sudden you just kind of tighten up and you just kind of stop and look over? And what is that? That's a little bit of it's wisdom, but it's also fear that you don't fall off the edge. And so fear in and of itself, it teaches us some things. It teaches us boundaries. It teaches us at a young age not to touch the hot stove. It teaches us things that we need to learn. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. Fear is an emotion. Someone say fear is an emotion. But like any emotion, fear can get out of control. It can get out of control. And when fear gets out of control, this is what happens. I've seen it over and over in many areas of life. It begins driving our lives. And you and me, we can be driven by fear. Faith, on the other hand, is a little different. It's, as I said, it's not an equal opposite of fear, because faith is not an emotion. Well, fear is an emotion. Faith is not an emotion. Faith is an understanding. Faith, Hebrews 11 and 1 describes it, that faith is the substance, you know the scripture, the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith is an understanding built on the integrity of God. It's built on this understanding that God has never failed me before and he will never fail again. It's built on the integrity of God that he is perfect and that he is good and that his love never fails. His love never gives up. His perfection, he is perfect, and everything that is good and perfect comes from God. Faith comes from that understanding that built on the love of God, the loyalty and the faithfulness of God towards us. Faith exists. This is key. It exists in spite of emotions. That while fear is an emotion and fear is natural, there is this thing that must arise in our hearts and in our lives as Christians, as we walk throughout our lives, in our daily lives, through work and through school. There's not maybe many in school here, but if you're in school and as you walk through school and as you navigate retirement and as you navigate being a grandparent, as you navigate parenthood, and in whatever season of life you're in, fear will come up in some way. But there is something else that must arise in our life called faith that exists in spite of the fear. It exists sometimes in the contradiction of our emotions. It's often painted on the canvas of fear, faith is. It makes us able to overcome fear. David said this, Psalms 27 and 1, that the Lord is my light and my salvation, and because of that, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat of my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing, he said, have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You and I, as people, we have to decide what we are going to be governed by. Are we going to be governed by fear, or are we going to be governed by faith? Fear controls. It's Satan's master controlling spirit. It's through fear that he can control us. It keeps people in check. I believe this, that God has a desire for you and I to be moving forward in this life. That there is never a time that we are to be in the perfect will of God, that we are to be drifting back. You're either moving forward or you're drifting, and drifting is not where a child of God, as a person, you want to be. You can apply that to any area of life. You never want to be caught drifting. You always want to be moving intentionally towards the target where you're wanting to be, and that's true when it comes to God's will for our lives, and it's true as a church collectively, but also when you personalize it into you, into your life, No matter if you've loved the Lord all your life, or no matter if this is maybe a new thing for you and you're just beginning your journey, and whether you're saved and whether you've been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, or whether that promise is still out there for you to receive, God has something greater for each and every one of us that is far out ahead that we must be pressing towards. And everything that God has for us, but we have not possessed yet, it lies in that area out there, outside of our comfort zone. And what the enemy would like to do for each and every one of us, whether it's in spiritual matters or whether it's in life itself, which is, there's not really two separate things there, I don't think. Spiritual matters are throughout life. But wherever it is in your life and whatever area you want to apply it to, our enemy would like to keep you in your comfort zone. Keep you right in check. Here today, there's going to come a point sometime in our service when I just know this by faith, because he always shows up and he's always here. And if we desire, we can always recognize his presence. There's going to be a time today when there's an opportunity just to respond. It's going to be appropriate to respond to the moving of the Holy Ghost. And there's going to be people here that respond in faith to that. But also, if the law of averages works out and what usually happens, there is also going to be people here that need to take a step of faith, but that they lie still inside their comfort zone, paralyzed in their comfort zone, paralyzed by what? By fear. And if that's maybe you, and that's been you in the past, and you've been here, and you felt that tug and that pull in your heart, and you felt God leading you to take a step in faith, maybe you need healing, and God's calling you to take a step and be healed, and maybe it's just to be exuberant in praise and worship, and maybe that's not your normal. I feel sometimes that we kind of can fall back on, that's not my personality, and that's not who I am. And while I know each of us are different, this is what I've been convicted with a lot lately. In praise and in worship, does God have all of me? Does he have my heart? Does he have my life? But does he have my feet? Does he have my hands? Does he have my eyes? Does he have my lips? Am I willing to give him everything in praise and worship? And you know what? That's outside of my comfort zone. As your pastor, that's outside of my comfort zone. But I've got to, every time I enter into the presence of God, whether it's here, whether it's at home, whether it's out and about, I've got to be willing to give him all in my praise. Maybe it's in time of a response to the preached word of God in our altar service, and this happens a lot where the preached word of God goes forth, and it's anointed word of God, whether it's through myself as your pastor or through the many anointed teachers and preachers here, and God is speaking right to you, and you feel that tug and you feel that pull, but there is also something else within you that just says, God, I've got things to do. I'm more comfortable right here at my seat. I know sometimes there's things that cause us not to be able to get down to this front. I understand that, but I also think that we have anointed this area up front as a place of sacrifice, as a place where our life is altered on the altar of God, and it's a place that I know I've experienced it in my life. I've not felt maybe just like the carpet was rolled out for me to go down to the front, and I didn't see a shining light in a specific spot on the altar for me to walk to, and I didn't have the right person to lay their hands on my head. And there's been those times where I didn't feel all of those things, but I took a step of faith. And because I took that step of faith, God honored my faithfulness to him in that moment. And because I got outside of my comfort zone in that moment, God began to deal with me in my heart. And maybe there were things that I didn't even know that needed to be laid down on the altar, but God began to speak to me and God began to deal with me. And on the other side of getting out of my comfort zone, there was a great blessing that was awaiting. And I believe that's true for whosoever will that's here today. I believe it's growing up, and this is true today. that any time an invitation is given to the altar, I got to be there. In fact, I got in trouble as a kid if I didn't go to the altar. And I think I'd still get in trouble, but I'd get in trouble with God if I didn't go to the altar. And so, obviously, we would never, I don't think it's right for someone to make you go to the altar. But I think that there should be something within us that says, I've got to be where God is leading me. And this is an anointed place. This carpet is old carpet, and this area is no different. It's the same concrete under this floor that's at where you're sitting today. But there's just something special about taking a step out of our comfort zone into a place that has been anointed and that has been prayed over and that has been believed over. And when you come, God will do something in your life. I just choose to believe that. I don't know if you believe that today, but I choose to believe that. And I encourage you to step out of your comfort zone. Maybe your comfort zone is at work, and you work amongst non-believers, and you work... And we all do that. If you work anywhere, most likely you work. I do that. I work amongst non-believers. And our comfort zone, if you're like me, is to sometimes just not always allow the truth of God's word and the goodness of God just to just always flow through me. And so our comfort, and I'm speaking about comfort, and knowing that comfort is not, it's a part of our flesh. Our fresh flesh likes to be comfortable. That's why some of us come here and you're wearing a little blanket because maybe you're a little cold. And then there's some people here that it's hot, so you're taking off the layers, you know. And because our flesh likes to be comfortable. And we as people like to live and reside inside our comfort zone. And so when we go to work, or maybe we go to wherever we go in life, there's always, I believe this, an opportunity if we are sensitive. There's an opportunity to just share the light of Christ, no matter where we are, no matter where we go, that we are the salt and light, that we are a city set on a hill, that we are not necessarily, this is how I used to picture it, and just myself, and this isn't really a wrong picture, but God gave me a greater understanding, and so it's wrong to me. But I used to just picture a dark city and the church as the lighthouse, just spreading light all throughout the city. And if that's how you picture it, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But I think God's picture is a little different. I think his picture is, if you've ever seen a city at night from a satellite image, where you just see a light over here, and a light over there, and a light here, and a light there, that the lighthouse shines wherever, not where the church house is, it shines wherever you are. That the lighthouse shines whether you're in the coffee shop or whether you're at work, at the workplace, that whether you're here or whether you're there, that there should be a light that is shining forth, that is going out into all the world, illuminating the darkness. I think that's God's desire, but fear would want us to turn the light off. And fear would want us to not be the lighthouse wherever we live. Fear would want us to just be comfortable existing in a dark world that is all around us. But God has not given us that spirit of fear. But he has given us something that is so much greater. He has given us the spirit of power. He's given us the Holy Ghost, that spirit of love and of a sound mind, to be the people of God, the vessels that he has placed here for such a time as this, to be Christ embodied in this world, the body of Christ, and members in particular. He has given you a light to let out into this dark world and to shine wherever it is that you live and wherever it is that you go. And this is what I came to tell you today, not to be controlled by that spirit of fear, but to allow the love of Jesus Christ to shine through you wherever you are and wherever you go. To live by faith. The spirit of fear will incarcerate your life if you allow it. The spirit of fear will influence your every thought. The spirit of fear will get in the way of every decision. The spirit of fear will control your life. The spirit of fear is not of God. It's not of God. So you can make the choice, and I can make the choice, that I'm not going to live one more day controlled by the spirit of fear. That I am not going to live my life afraid. That I am not going to live my life controlled by an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy everything that God has there out there for me. That I am not going to live incarcerated behind an emotion that the enemy wants to elevate in my life. No, I'm going to choose to elevate the faith in my life. Faith in a God who is good. Faith in a God who is faithful to us. I am going to choose to decrease my fear and elevate my faith. It said that the most common command in the entire Bible is to fear not. That if you take a variety of variations of the wording, I've heard it said before that those words, fear not, and like you said, in different wordings and different ways it's given, that it's spoken over 365 times in your Bible, that there is a fear not command. One for every day of the year and beyond. In the opening book of the Bible, we read those words, to fear not. In the closing book of the Bible, we read it again and again, fear not. And on this Sunday, I believe the Lord is speaking to someone that's here today. Someone that God has promises out there for you to possess. Someone that God has healing out there for you to receive. Someone who has new life in Christ Jesus just waiting for you to accept. Someone who has lived life the same way over and over and over again, and you've not been able to get outside of your comfort zone, and you've not been able to take a step outside of that circle that the enemy has drawn around your life. I'm speaking to someone here today to fear not. Why is that? Because while that command to fear not is throughout Scripture, there is a promise that is almost always attached to those words. And that promise is not that God will come in and necessarily fix everything. Because sometimes in His wisdom, there are things that just don't make sense to us, but make sense to God. And that promise is not that He will heal everything. His promise is not that He will do everything we want. His promise is not that He will answer every prayer that has been prayed, but His promise to each and every one of us is that as we go through this life, and as we take a step outside of our comfort zones, and as we choose to live by faith and not by fear, God promises that He will be with us every step of the way. The Lord is on my side, the psalmist said. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Psalm 34 and 4, I sought the Lord and He heard me, and He delivered me from all of my fear. He spoke to the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 41 and 10 and said, fear thou not, for what? For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and I will strengthen you. Yea, I will uphold you. Yea, I will uphold you by the right hand of my righteousness. Later on, he said this in Isaiah 43 and 10, that now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have chosen thee by thy name, for thou art mine. When thou passeth through the waters, what? I will be with thee through the waters, and they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. That you will pass through the waters, and that you will walk through the fire, that you will, that you'll pass it, that you'll pass through it. That's the point. You're going to go through the fire, and you're going to go through the water, but you're going to make it through it because of the presence of Almighty God that is right there with you. I'm thankful for that today. Are you thankful for that today? Paul, second letter in closing to a young Timothy. This is shortly before his death. It's presumably his last writing. And he knows that his time is short. He knows that he will soon be leaving a big responsibility on the shoulders of this young preacher, of this young man that he has been mentoring named Timothy. And Timothy is going to face some things. And Paul knows this. Paul faced a lot, but Timothy's going to face some things that Paul never faced. Timothy's going to need some answers to questions that Paul never considered. And isn't that true for us today? That there have been people that have gone before us, and there's things that you and I face that they never faced. And the generation that's coming up, there's going to be things that they face that you and I have never faced. And there are answers that we must have that the previous generations never had to have an answer for. And that's what Paul is speaking to. And that's the context of his writing, that there are things up ahead, that there are situations that are going to be faced, that there are questions that are going to be answered. And this is what he writes in 2 Timothy 1 and 7. We've already read it. That God has not given you this spirit of fear, Timothy. That you're going to face some things. You're going to go through some things. And you're going to answer to some things. And you're going to have to take a step of faith sometimes, Timothy. You're going to have to get outside your comfort zone, Timothy. You're going to have to follow the voice of God and follow the leading of the Holy Ghost and follow the leading of God sometimes. And just remember this, Timothy, that fear that's going to rise up inside of you naturally, that emotion that's going to rise up within you, God did not give you that to control you and to keep you down. That spirit of fear, yes, there is fear inside you, but the spirit of fear is not from God. But Timothy, God has given you something that is greater. It is more powerful. It will defeat that spirit of fear every single time. He has given you the spirit of power, and he has given you the spirit of love, and he has given you the spirit of a sound mind. Does anybody know what that spirit is today? I'm thankful for that spirit today. And if you're here and you're feeling nervous, and you're feeling timid, and you're feeling frightened and anxious, if you're here and you feel panicked about life and fearful about the future, if you feel like you can't ever escape that place, that dreaded place called your comfort zone, I'm here to tell you that you can escape it today, that you can live this life in peace, not because of the spirit of fear, but of that spirit of God, which he has given each and every one to receive on this Sunday morning, that spirit of the Holy Ghost. It's his spirit, folks. It is the spirit of God himself within us, the spirit of the one who has power over death, hell, and the grave, who defeated the grave in himself. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it lives within you today. And because of that, I can walk in confidence. I can walk in boldness. I can walk in love. I can walk in peace. I can walk in joy. I can live my life not consumed by fear, but by love. Can you stand today? Is anybody thankful for what the Lord has given us on this Sunday morning? If you're thankful for that spirit of the Holy Ghost, would you just lift up your hands and begin to honor the Lord with your voice today? Jesus, we thank you. I thank you for what you have given us. I'm thankful for what you have blessed us with. I'm thankful to be a child of God. I'm thankful that you have given me things in my life that I never deserved, that I could never earn, that is a blessing. It is truly that. It's a blessing from Almighty God. And so I live here today. I live here today knowing that you have greater things ahead. That Jesus, that you are always moving, and that you are always leading, that you're always pressing forward, Jesus. So here we are today. We are not consumed, I pray, by fear. We are not consumed by doubt. We are not consumed by hesitation. We are not consumed by the things in our flesh that could rise up and stop us and block us and keep us staying still. But today, we choose to respond in faith. We choose to respond by walking one step at a time, Lord, living this life for you, living this life to glorify your name. In the name of Jesus.